Let's descend the podcast into a bit of chaos.
More chaos.
More chaos.
That electric moment when a ball hits the back of the net.
Unbelievable game. Two great teams going at it.
Compared to the uterusry beside him, he just looks like the new Cafu or something.
We are making a documentary about how shit our club is.
VR is bullshit.
Who is the biggest cheater in football tonight?
Harry Kane, without a fucking doubt. Without a fucking doubt.
Good evening and welcome to the Football Bubble. It is the 10th of August, it's Thursday night, it's just gone 7 minutes past eight. There's four of us in tonight, myself, People, Cousin Mud, Patrick and Brent. Steve is currently just touring around Ireland, repairing flat tyres for stranded women at the side of roads, full drunk by the sounds of it. So hopefully we'll get an update on that in a couple of weeks when he's back on his holidays. So he won't be joining us this week. But yeah, we're going to get into it tonight. Obviously, the Premier League kicks off tomorrow night. Manchester City against Manchester City Reserves. Sorry, Burnley. And then we'll have a full game, full round of fixtures this week, which we'll get into. We're going to get into a bit of preview, who we think's going to win, sort of top four, top five, and surprise packages, and obviously who we think's going to win the transfer window. And tonight we're going to start actually on the transfer window because it got a bit chaotic in there in the transfer window regarding the Premier League clubs anyway. Today, Harry Kane and Bayern Munich and Spurs have agreed a deal of 100 million, but Harry Kane hasn't gone yet. Liverpool and Chelsea are having a good old-fashioned shootout, just getting ready for Sunday by trying to bid for players all each team wants. We'll chat about that. Fred's leaving Man United. All different things are going on. Arsenal and Man City are sitting there in the background thinking, whatever, let's get it done. City are going for Paqueta, but they're doing it really weirdly, like it was 70 million yesterday, went to 88 million today, so they're just chucking whatever money at it. But we'll get into this. Johnny, saying as your club's not involved, we'll talk about the Liverpool, Chelsea, Casado, and Lavia stuff first, guys, because I think that's the one we all care about the most. No harm to Harry Kane. Good luck to him. Enjoy your bratwursts, but sayonara. Johnny, you're looking at it on the outside, and obviously, two clubs you love to hate are battling it out for two midfielders. We both play the same position, both valued a little bit differently, obviously. Liverpool looked like they were going to get Lavia, then they kept increasing their bid by 50p, and so that were like, we're not messing about. Chelsea looked like they're going to get in Caicedo, and they kept increasing their bid by like £1.50 and kept going up and up, and Brighton are not moving. Where do you think this goes? And like, as someone who sort of like enjoys a bit of the transfers too, is this like peak transfer window chaos?
Oh yeah, I mean, they're both playing games, which I think is quite obvious because, like, Brighton won 100 million for Caicedo, and you know Chelsea have bid 80 odd whatever it is million for Caicedo, which has been rejected. Now, if they really wanted Lavia, you know they wouldn't have went in with 45 million; they would have went straight in with the 50 because they can obviously afford it. And what I think is even funnier is like Liverpool are trying to play a game where they won't pay 50 million for a player, but they're going to try and pay for a guy that's, you know, the club's looking 100 million for. You know, it's just, they're all silly games when we get them in every transfer window. And there's always certain clubs involved. It just happens to be Chelsea and Liverpool at this stage. Yeah, it's peak transfer window time here before the league season starts. Obviously, I think any player that can play this weekend needs to be registered by tomorrow afternoon. So unless something dramatic happens here, I can't see either of those two players playing for Liverpool or Chelsea on Sunday. So it'll be interesting. It'll be an interesting game on Sunday when that pops up to see who actually does line out. I've been listening, obviously, to a lot of Arsenal podcasts, of course, and a lot of the folks on those podcasts seem to think Liverpool are going to challenge for the title again this year. So, you know, I know you said sort of before we came on about some Liverpool fans having a meltdown about transfers and things like that, but you know, from the outside, a lot of, well, particularly the Arsenal fan base, see Liverpool as a very big threat and a team that's going to challenge again because, well, they haven't got Champions League this year, so they're not really going to take the Europa League too seriously, I think. So Klopp will obviously rest plenty of players, so they'll have a real good go. are going for the title again. Whether they win, it's obviously a different question, but I really do expect Liverpool to be back in the run for the Champions League spots again this year, at the very least. And then there's all mad transfers going on, which, you know, you touched on one there, which I don't think will happen, but, you know, will remain to be seen. But it is, like, we've got a lot of business done early on, and for some mad reason went and signed the goalkeeper as well.
Don't worry, I'm going to mention that soon. Don't you worry.
we're coming to the start of the season now tomorrow, and sort of you kind of just switch off in the transfer window and hope that you don't lose any big players and things like that. So I think there is going to be one or two big transfers before the end of August. So it'll be really interesting to see who moves where. I think Liverpool will make maybe at least one midfield signing, and Chelsea seem to sign a person a day, so it's absolutely amazing where it's all coming from. But, you know, it's mad transfer window this year, especially for the money that even Arsenal spent. I've never seen it in all my days. So, yeah, good times ahead.
Patrick, last night, I was in bed, and another friend of mine, I think you might know Connor, who's a big Liverpool fan, but 10 to 11, I was literally about to get over. I just stuck in a podcast, so help me get over, and next time my phone flashes, Chelsea have bid for Lavia. This is 10 to 11, like, and he's just had a newborn baby, he's only a couple of weeks old, and this is his focus right now, and I was like, right, okay, cool. And I stupidly went on Twitter just to check what's going on, and it had exploded. It had gone off on all sides. Chelsea fans not knowing what's going on. All the social media, all the journalists were mentioning it. Obviously, Horny Orny was doing it, so that just blows everything up. Then our own friends were going mad. Even this morning was going mad. And then this Caicedo bid comes out of nowhere, and it's like, and you know my thoughts on this, and you all know my thoughts on this. The transfer window sickens me sometimes. It's not real football. I'd rather, as Johnny said, what starts tomorrow, but it's very, very chaotic. Where do you think this goes? Like, you're looking at this, you're a Liverpool fan, and I'll give my opinion on it too at some point after Brenton, but what do you think Liverpool are at here? What's going on? They clearly have the money. If they can bid for Caicedo, or they can say they can go for Caicedo, you'd like to think they're doing it because they have the money and not because they're doing it to be, that'll be a really bad PR move, I think. And Brett, so I'm sitting looking at this going, hang on, you wouldn't give us 50 million, but you're about to offer 100 million for so what do you think Liverpool are at? Where do you think this ends? And where do you think Liverpool are at?
I think it's a strange one. I think it's been a strange window for Liverpool. We got some good business done early. We've got a World Cup winner for which seemed to be a snip in Alexis McAllister. We signed Dominic Szoboszlai, who's 22 and highly rated as well. So it kind of looks like there's your 2 8 signed. You know, that already looks stronger than last season. Things are looking rosy. This new sporting director, George Shamaka, knows his onions. And then, obviously, the Saudi stuff disrupted what Liverpool were kind of planning, threw a lot of stuff up in the air. I think probably there was an element of succession planning, which then was sort of ripped up. I think the idea might have been to sign Lavia and have him play under the tutelage of Fabinho or share duties for a year until Fabinho maybe went or Henderson or something like that. You see how some of the best clubs have been run lately. You know, City, Gundogan goes, Kovacic in. You know, there's a like-for-like replacement. Mahrez goes, yeah. They'll either sign Paqueta or Alisse or goodness knows, maybe both. You watch what Real Madrid have done with their midfield. They've managed to transition from Modric, Casemiro and Kroos. I know Modric and Kroos are still there, but then they've got Bellingham, they've got Camavinga, they've got Tchouameni, they've got Valverde. So they did a lot of those things whilst the established players were still there. Ideally, that's probably what Liverpool were looking to do, but that's all been ripped up. Like, it's been a disaster. They couldn't not take the money from Saudi Arabia, but it's left us in this position. I think that a lot of uncertainty at Liverpool over the last couple of years. We've changed sporting director. You know, we had been a model of consistency and smart transfers for probably the best part of 6 or 7 years. We had sold well from our academy. We had identified targets, bought them relatively cheap, and Klopp's turned them into world-class players, all under kind of Michael Edwards, kind of watchful eye and all these kind of data analysts. Now, you know, we've been through sporting directors. This one just seemed like it happened on the hoof because he was Klopp's mate. It seems very un-Liverpool. Klopp's influence, he seemed to be part of a kind of a committee at a time, where he seems to have a lot of control now. It seems very muddled, which is very un-Liverpool in recent years. And you're right, like, fans are losing their minds because we've lost five central midfielders, we've signed two, and we're starting the season in 2 days' time, 3 days' time, without an established six. So it's very, very un-Liverpool. Klopp usually likes to get his sign-ins early, bed them in, but there's going to be no time for that. I don't know what the plans are regarding Lavia or Caicedo. Probably some, you know, maybe one will go to Liverpool, one will go to Chelsea or whatever. But it's a very muddled transfer window for Liverpool. And I gotta say, unless I do think we're going to get a couple of bodies in the door, but until we do that, I'm going to be slightly concerned. As to which one I'd prefer, it's weird, as you said, they've been bartering and bargaining over Lavia and throwing in an extra, you know, bag of combs, and then suddenly the potentially go and throw this money at Caicedo, who sounds like he wanted to go to Chelsea all along. So it is very strange, very strange. But we'll see. Personally, I would probably prefer to sign Caicedo. They're both very, very young players, but I think Caicedo might be slightly more experienced. I think he's a couple of years older than Lavia. But, you know, we just need somebody.
One caveat with that was, I know people were saying we've lost five midfielders. Two or three of those were, I mean, Naby Keita, we might as well have had Finn. You know what I mean?
Yeah, true.
Similar stature and size, and Finn doesn't get injured. we might as well. Oxlade-Chamberlain as well. God love him. He was brilliant at one point, but he was injured. And then I can't remember who was the other one we lost, but we lost
Milner.
Well, Milner's the one me and you've spoken about a lot privately. Like, he should still be there, but we'll not get into that tonight. So we've gone through, obviously, Cousin Mud and Patrick, and now, as Father Ted said, we'll move on to Liars, and we'll move on to Chelsea. And how Chelsea have... This is Chelsea's doing, all of this, by the way. This complete chaos is your fault, Brendan Hagan. Your fault, all of it. And you're sitting there smirking at me, but you know it is. Chelsea, they cannot do anything simple. They have to be absolute chaotic merchants. Not only do you want to take Tyler Adams, which is a sore spot for me as it is, then you're not happy because you can't get Caicedo over the line. So you go and chuck 48 million at Southampton. Oh, here we go. And now you've caused this. Where do you sit on this? And I suppose, like, I think one will go, as everyone's right, one will go to Liverpool, one will possibly go to Chelsea, say, or they don't go anywhere or whatever. But imagine now, Brenton, if two of them end up at the same club. Right? Yeah. And it's not, like, obviously, if it's not mine, and Paddy's a sore, but if it's not yours after this, because Chelsea started this, like, we were minding our own business trying to sort out Lavia, and then you just chucked a hand grenade in. Where do you see on this? Where do you sit on Chelsea? Like, what they've done so far, and even today, Tyler Adams obviously get touch base on, and then Moses Caicedo. Where do you think it goes next?
First of all, glad to be back among the chaos. It's where Chelsea belong, where they're comfortable for the last decade or so.
15 years.
I think they will get Caicedo, Chelsea. I think it's changing every sort of 5 minutes, it seems, at this stage. But it sounds like Brighton are keen to get it done. Chelsea at the moment seem like they are in the driving seat. There's a lot of positive sort of noise, apparently, from Chelsea sources at the minute. So, that's what it looks like at the minute. The Lavia one did surprise me. I thought it was going to just be a straight shot. But the only thing I would say about Chelsea now and the Caicedo deal is I don't think they would have went near Lavia if they thought there was a chance that they weren't going to get Caicedo, if that makes sense. So I think they're so, I don't know if desperate is the right word, but they do need bodies like Liverpool in that area of the pitch. And I agree with everything that's been said so far. Like, I think both of them will fill those roles probably before the weekend, because I think it's a necessity for their squads. And it just so happens that, you know, it seems to work out like this more often than not, but two big teams are struggling in the same position. And, you know, the winner also is Brighton, who have been, you know, in the last, well, certainly when it comes to Chelsea, in the last 18 months or so, they can just, you know, they're both, Liverpool and Chelsea, are, and I said it earlier as well, I don't know if I put it in the group or said to you, but Southampton as well will be licking their lips.
Yeah.
And it's probably happening right now, we just are not aware of it. Obviously, this is Thursday evening, and these two teams are playing each other on Sunday afternoon. So, you know, I think the race is well and truly on, and probably nearly at the finish line by now.
Yeah, I agree with it. I think it ends up, I think maybe you three agree with me that Lavia does end up at Liverpool and Caicedo ends up at Chelsea. And one thing I will say on as well, like, and this is just coming from a Liverpool side, a lot of, there's been a lot of heads being falling off left, right and centre because Liverpool haven't been able to get this deal, say, over the line for Lavia, right? And I do get parts of it to an extent. I do get if you can get annoyed, whatever, but people seem to think that transfers are really simple. Like, you just pay what's asked for and that's done then. It's done and dusted, but that isn't necessarily the case. And people were, and I know nothing about this, but this is just, I know nothing about what's going on with the Lavia thing or anything like that, obviously. But people are criticising Liverpool because their business used to be done more efficiently and a lot quietly and different things, and they get that, but it's not Liverpool's fault if Southampton leak that Liverpool have bid and we've rejected it. It's not Chelsea's fault if they've bid for Caicedo and Brighton have gone, 2 seconds, but you've offered too little, so we're just going to tell everyone. Do you know what I mean? You can't stop another team doing that. And I get it could be annoying too, yeah, but you can't. Like, so there's a point of me that does feel like sometimes clubs are maybe too much criticised. And I think people as well, Big Jorg came in, this is Jorg Schmadadak, for Liverpool. He came in, he didn't sign McAllister, that was Adrian Ward who did it. He stayed on to sign it. And then he obviously paid the release clause for Szoboszlai. I think this has been a disaster, to be honest. This point that Liverpool have got an interim sporting director in the summer is poo-poo, if you ask me. I think that's silly. Now, I wouldn't be surprised in September Big York stays in Ibiza and doesn't come back from his holidays. And it's someone like Paul Mitchell from Monaco who is announced as full-time and it comes in. And another thing you touched on, Patrick, as well, Klopp's in charge of everything now. Well, I think Rafa Honigstein had said that in a podcast yesterday, that he actually has full control, and there's no other manager really in the Premier League has that now. Has that full control. It's not something you sort of see. So, look, it'd be interesting, but I think, pardon me, no one knows exactly what goes on with transfers. Liverpool could have offered, say, 45 million for Southampton, but offered it in 3 instalments. And Southampton are like, no, we want 45 in cash money right now in a big suitcase. And then Liverpool, you don't know what's going on, but people lose their mind. I just wait until the end of August, till the transfer window closes, and then see where you're at. And then if you haven't signed enough players, this is my opinion to other fans of the things, if you're not happy with how you've signed, that's fine. But like, I would just be patient on it. But you're jump in there, Patrick.
No, I was just going to say, like, I agree with you. You know, transfers are complicated, and Southampton are clearly licking all this stuff. But Southampton have been very clear from the start, we want £50 million, because whenever they signed him from City, City have a sell-on clause. So they want the 50, so they're making, you know, 40 out of it or whatever. And they've been very clear. What Liverpool have done for years is I can rhyme off players we have signed and there has been no bidding. It is literally, well, not publicly, it's just happened. We've just paid the money. Diaz, Gakpo, Konate, Fabinho, Thiago, yeah. Jota. It just happens. Literally, you see on BBC Sport or Fabrizio Romano that day, Liverpool are in for Jota. By tea time, it's done. Whereas this has been protracted. This has been going on for about a month. And they're going up in these small little increments. Like, you know, you've already brought in, you know, they got some 50 million from selling Henderson and Fabinho whilst clearing tens of millions of pounds off the wages. Just pay an extra 5 million, get the thing done, like, and just move on. I think that's kind of what probably a lot of people are finding frustrating, you know.
It could be as well, like, and we're just talking about Liverpool here, like, it could be the case that you don't know, if it ends up they get Caicedo, say, for talk's sake, I don't think they will, Breton, but if Liverpool do end up getting Caicedo, it could come out then, actually, that Liverpool were talking a lot with him back and forward and they were encouraged, so then they sort of stalled on Lavia. You don't know. Teams will do a PR stunt to see what's going on anyway. But I'm just going to wait and see what happens. Like, I hope they sign one of them. That'd be cool. I still do think, yes, you come in a minute, Brendan, I still do think they need centre-half's a priority. A left-sided centre-half's a priority for me, to be honest, because you've Bajetic and you've Thiago, you've Jones and McAllister. I don't think, and I'll talk about this in the predictions very soon, I don't think Liverpool will challenge the Champions League this year. They'll maybe win the Europa League, which would be good. I want them in the Europa League because we'll get a day out in Dublin, some of us, and go wreck Stephen's house in Liverpool kits. But yeah, I don't think they'll win the title anyway. But Brendan, come on in.
Are Liverpool fans getting annoyed that stuff is getting leaked? You know,
you wouldn't believe it, sir.
I don't know about yous, but as a fan of a football club, that doesn't matter a shit to me, like, whether stuff gets leaked or not. Like, at the end of the day, if you sign the player, that's really all that matters. And I don't understand why the fans of a club would, you know...
That's because you fuckers go and outbid every odd club.
Johnny put it so poetically there. That's the point I was going to read. You're coming from a Chelsea end where you don't care. You do not give a Todd Bowley doesn't give a shit. He just.
But I don't. I mean, I don't as a fan either. Like,
because you don't. Your fan base doesn't. But our fan base was spoiled, as Patrick just highlighted. Where, I don't know if you've noticed it. The two lads here that aren't Liverpool fans. You did feel a pride off, and you could feel the fan base saying, "You don't know what we're doing." And then, bang, we just come in. That was Michael Edwards and Julian Ward, and there was a real pride. Liverpool fans, and maybe people think you shouldn't because you just care about who's on the pitch. But Liverpool fans are like, "We have Michael Edwards and Julian Ward. We are the best in the business," and it was lauded about how good they were at getting stuff done. But it was never seen. It was like under the darkness. It was like Navy SEALs type operation. Done. Well, nobody knew about Diaz. Spurs had agreed to sign Diaz. Next thing he arrived at Anfield. Do you know what I mean? All this here. But so on your side, Brett, you're not saying that. The one that was last year was Cody Gakpo during the World Cup. It just came up on a Monday night. Liverpool agreed to sign Cody Gakpo. I was sitting beside you, Brett.
Yeah. I enjoyed that too, actually.
Yeah.
Only because it was United that it was, you know, he was being taken off. That was great.
Whereas, and then he absolutely roasted him when they beat him 7-0. And that's one for you, Stephen, because you always remember the 7-0. And then, like, but whereas Chelsea, you're just like, how much is he worth? 10 million? Here's 100. And just fired at him and away they go. Do you know what I mean? They just don't care. Like, they don't care. So it's different for your side, whereas we've come up, probably as Johnny highlighted, like, Arsenal have had a really good transfer window and he's not used to it. You know, some of the deals that come out, like Raya came out of nowhere and different things like that. They're Timber, and I'll say that every time I see him on the pitch, by the way. And you know, people like that, Havertz, whatever. And so it's different. So, you know, Arsenal doing it a different way now too. So it's a little bit worse. As I said, it's a completely different feeling for you, Brent, because Chelsea are just chaotic. Like, see, watching from the outside, it is. I actually enjoy watching what Chelsea do because every day you're just like, what are these fucking men and lunatics? Like, what's going on here? They're just like, just buying everyone, every player they can. Are you available? Come and play for us. You know what I mean? It's just, it's chaotic. Like, but I do enjoy it. But, the other big one, lads, and Johnny, I need to get your opinion on this first, because I know this transfer affects you greatly. Harold Kane is potentially heading off to Munich to play for Bayern Munich for 100 million euros. I think it was £85 million or something, whatever. How do you feel, Jonathan? obviously a diehard Arsenal fan playing in North London, and he's heading off to play in Munich. How does it make you feel, sir?
He'll not go. The way it works nowadays, like if a team
you're reading,
agreed,
he won't go.
Fucking right, I'm reading because the fucker all scores in games against us. Boston 7-2-0 there in January. I'm fucking shove it up them. Fuckers. I didn't get my chance to have a podcast about that. But anyway.
He scores in every game. Fuck's sake.
He does. He's puked. But like the fact now that this week it's came out that he's leaning towards staying at Spurs and all this nonsense. I mean, you would expect, you know, personal terms, all that sort of nonsense to be sorted out in the time that the two clubs are agreeing a fee. And the fee's been agreed. And Kane's like, the decision's down to Harry Kane now. You know, it would have all been sort of, he'd be on his way to Munich right now to do a medical and all that sort of nonsense. Like, I can't see it going. I can't see him because his ego will just want the Premier League goal scoring record over winning anything. And that's just it. I just can't see him going when he's, is he what, 48 goals away from Shearer's record? He's not that far off it now. So I just can't see him going because what if he's near hitting 30 now? What is he going to really achieve? A Bundesliga title, you know, are Bayern Munich going to win the Champions League this year? Probably not. I mean, that's the only reason why
they have a very good
going.
Chance with him in it.
Can they win it? I don't know. You know, and I say that would be the only reason why I think he would go. I don't think he's going to go just to win a Bundesliga. You know what I mean? I can't see it. If it was a different club,
he hasn't won anything with Spurs.
No, he hasn't. But I think the goal scoring record probably means more to him than actually going away and winning a league title with Bayern Munich. And I think a lot of people have said that, like Jamie Carragher is one of the ones that's really been saying it, and Don Bloomhead and Gary Neville. They've really been saying that about how that record's bound to mean more to him, that sort of legacy, because like Alan Shearer talks more about having the Premier League goal scoring record rather than winning that one Premier League title. But you know, I don't know, it doesn't really, like at the end of the day, I don't really see Spurs as a massive threat this year anyway to anyone. I don't think they'll finish in the top four. You know, they have a good manager, don't get me wrong, I think Ange is a good manager and he probably will do something decent with Spurs, but whether if Kane stays or goes, I don't think it really makes a difference. Like, I don't think they'll finish in the top four. I think the likes of Chelsea and Liverpool, United, you know, Arsenal and City are a lot stronger than them. So, he can stay for next year and he'll probably go on a free to, I don't know where he'll end up, maybe Man United or something next year. But I think that's probably in his mind as well. He only has 1 year left to do at Spurs anyway. And then he can agree a big transfer. Well, not a big transfer, but, you know, a big contract with another club, and he maybe has a chance to win something next year and he'll get the Premier League record or something. I don't know, but I can't see that transfer happening, Phil, to be quite honest.
I know you want to come in, Brenton, but I just think it's laughable. You wouldn't want to go and play for Bayern Munich to stay at Tottenham to break a Premier League record. Like, no harm, but who gives a fuck about how many goals are scored in Premier League over winning titles and challenging? He goes to Bayern Munich, and Brenton, you come in here next. He goes to Bayern Munich, and they genuinely are in top three or four teams to win that Champions League this year. They are frightening if he ends up, because they've signed Kim as well. They still have Kimmich. I know he's linked, but he's still there. Grotzka midfield, different players. Sané, Gnabry. Like, Tuchel as their manager as well. Like, Alphonso Davies. Stay at Spurs. I get if you want to stay at Spurs, different thing, but just for the goal scoring record, that makes no sense to me. But Brenton, come on in.
I would be of the same opinion, but I was listening today. I think it was just the radio, and somebody had said that why can he not do both? Like, if he's not that far off the record, he can go to Bayern Munich for 2 or 3 years, and Spurs would gladly accept him back. For what would it take him, 2 seasons to break the record? Maybe 3. Like, I would say he's in or just over his prime. So it would be stupid to turn down a genuine giant of football now, when he knows that probably later on in his career, if he really wants to, he could go back to Spurs. He could go back to anyone in the Premier League, really, apart from Arsenal, to break that Premier League record, I think. Go on ahead, buddy.
I totally agree with what you said there, especially you, Brendan, about him, that he could easily go for a couple of years, win a Champions League and come back. But it was interesting that a couple of years ago when City went for him, it wasn't that he didn't want to go, they just didn't have he wanted to go. And I know he's obviously expressed the desire to go over the last month, otherwise Bayern wouldn't be sort of half-arsed with this. I think the only thing that would hold him back is sentimentality, rather than the record. Personally, I think he seems like a very kind of selfless player, and I know strikers all have a kind of, you know, killer instinct, but he seems like a very selfless team player, because he's been in a largely average team, especially the last sort of few years. So I think kind of like Gerrard, when Chelsea wanted him that time, Liverpool weren't great. I know they won the Champions League that year, but they were a really poor side. And Chelsea were the dominant force, and he didn't go, and obviously was revered as a hero. I think that's the only thing that can hold Kane back now, because he doesn't seem money motivated. I don't think that the record will motivate, personally, I don't think that'll motivate him. I think, yeah, now's the time. You're 30. He's fucking class as well. He really is. I think he's better than Benzema. I do. I think he's unbelievable. I think now's the time. And as you said, Philly, Bayern have an unbelievable squad. He could easily go and win a Champions League, be a European Golden Boot guy, you know, and yeah, I think he should go.
I agree. And people make fun of the Bundesliga, and they call it a farmers league. Look what's happened in the Premier League the last couple of seasons, who's won it? And he's probably gonna win it again this year,
be fair, glass houses. Haaland could score 250 goals this season and then the record's done.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? I think this isn't anything against Spurs. I just think when you can go to one of the biggest clubs in the world, chance to win, as you said, Champions League, he could win a Bundesliga, and he's not going to win anything at Spurs. Nothing meaningful, really. Not nothing meaningful, but he might win cups at Spurs, but you don't see in the next 2 or 3 years them winning a Champions League or a league title. You really don't, and I just think it's daft to turn it down, because it's supposedly in his hands now. Both clubs have agreed the deal, it's up to Harry Kane. I think it's really silly. I think it, for him, this is a bigger legacy. Go to there, when he could win a treble in Germany and including the Champions League, and kick on going to the World Cup, absolutely motoring, right? And then you never know what he's going to do in our Euro side with England. Because as you said, he's an unbelievable footballer, such a brilliant goal scorer. I just think it's silly. I think if Kane is really thinking about it and he's going to stay behind just for that record, if he is so in love with Spurs and he does what Gerrard did, cool. We've been there and Gerrard stayed. What a fair play to him. But if he's just staying to break a Premier League record, someone in his family circle needs to pull him aside and say, Harry, come on, son. Head off to Bayern Munich. Do what you can do at Bayern Munich, see what you can win, and you can come back. And he'll probably end up coming back, maybe not to Spurs, he could end up coming back to United or whoever, or different things, probably Chelsea, and score a bucket load when he comes, you know what I mean? I do think it was interesting that some of the journalists were saying, and we'll move on from this now and do our predictions in the Premier League, that it would be Adam Crafton said, I would love to see an English club now put in match Bayern Munich's offer and sees what happened. And Brenton, no tell of a lie, the first thing I thought of, Todd Bowley's going to see this and just transfer 100 million into Spurs' account.
Absolutely.
Oh, and just move it across. That would be some sign. Now, if Chelsea got Harry Kane...
Holy good fuck.
Holy Christ. But yes, it's weird. I hope he goes to Bayern Munich, and I hope he scores an absolute bucket load for them. It does quite well for them. But yeah, that's for transfers. I don't think anything else has happened since we've last spoke about Caicedo and Lavia.
Although Johnny, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say that if I was Harry Kane, I would go to Bayern Munich, win the Champions League, put a photo of myself on Twitter and tag Arsenal. Could he get any more shit?
Imagine he goes to Bayern Munich and he puts Arsenal out. Sir.
I know. Well, you know what? That actually has some Arsenal fans that actually mentioned that on Twitter today.
beats him in the final.
I mean, the chance is there. And I'll tell you what, I would not turn down the chance alone just to fucking wear that away kit this year, because it is a beaut. An absolute beaut.
It is nice.
Right. Our Premier League predictions. Steve didn't give his in. So, Stephen, when you listen to this and you've stopped fixing tires, fucking modern tires, Steve, fire them in and put them up on our socials.
He told me his. He had United first.
Liverpool 20th.
Yeah.
Right. Winners. I'll go first and then I'll go down the order. So, Maud, you go next, Patrick, and then Brenton. Winners, yep. I have gone for Manchester City. I don't know if you'll all agree. I just think Manchester City sat all summer, didn't do anything really, messed about, let Gundogan go on, potentially Borussia Silver might be going, they're going to give a new deal, let Mahrez go on. Then they signed the best probably up-and-coming centre-half in the world in Guardiola, and then they signed Lucas Paqueta. You know what I mean? So I cannot see, and I'll touch on Arsenal in a minute, I just cannot see anyone beating them this year. I think City are going to do it. They're going to be the first, I think, English team to win four leagues in a row. I think that's coming this year. Jonathan?
Yeah, I think City are the one as well. Yeah. I got to experience it all last year and how they come after you in full force at the tail end of the season. And it's brutal. Absolutely brutal.
It's not nice.
It's not nice at all. So, yeah, they could start slow and be horrendous here for a month or two, and then they'll just annihilate everybody in front of them. It's scary. So yeah, I think they'll do it again this year.
Patrick?
Yeah, the City are like a cat playing with a mouse, like they did with Liverpool for probably three seasons as well. Like, it's really frustrating. No, I think City as well, exactly as you said, they've signed well. And I think Kovacic, like, I know he maybe won't score as many as Gundogan, but like, I think he might be the best ball-carrying midfielder in that league. I think he's lovely to watch. I'm sure Brendan's seen it plenty of times. I think he's class. City have also sold really well. They've generated a lot of money through selling, you know, guys who haven't played in their youth side. So, yeah, no, City looks stronger, for sure.
And Brenton?
Gunners.
Fuck off. You're putting the blink on. You are putting the blink on.
I'm going Gunners. For no other reason than to put the blink on.
Can I change my answer?
No, I'm at least half serious. I think they've signed well. I think they've got competition in places now, proper competition in places. If they keep fit, and I think the key is building up enough of a lead, because I think they're gonna do the same as they did last year and start well. If they can get some of those important results after Christmas and sort of in the final third of the season over the line, I think they could just do it. Honestly, I think they could.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm going to stick with you because you don't need to give me your orders, but who do you think comes into the top four then this year? And I think, am I right in saying there's a top five this year? Isn't there five can get into the Champions League for next season from England?
Only if certain conditions are met. I think if England and their teams are one of the best two performing nations across European competition this year, which I think has happened 7 of the last 11 years or something, then they get a fifth spot.
All right, okay.
So it probably will, yeah.
Yeah. Go on, Brenton.
Sorry, you've just distracted me with that news.
What?
Liverpool are willing to break their transfer fee in order to sign Moses Caicedo.
Right, so Moses, that's that more than bro? More than 85 million that we spent on Donkey Head. Wow.
Yeah, that's Darwin Núñez, in case anyone is... I'll talk
about
Brenton, your top...
Is Darwin Núñez Liverpool's record transfer fee? I don't think I would have got that.
I thought it was still Van Dijk, but go on ahead, Brenton.
Yeah, I think Arsenal, obviously, City, unfortunately United, Liverpool, Newcastle.
Patrick?
For top four, are we talking, or top five?
Yeah, not has to be in order. Give top five, say it. Not have to be in order, just okay. Who you think will finish there.
I think I've written an order here, so I'll say City to win it. Liverpool, I think, will come second. I think they will sign a centre half and a midfield player. I think United will make United third, Arsenal fourth, Chelsea fifth. I think Newcastle will struggle this season.
And Mr. Mudd, and we'll discuss all these in a minute, Mr. Mudd.
Man City obviously will finish first. I think Arsenal will finish second again. Liverpool for third. Chelsea fourth.
What?
Aston Villa fifth. Because they've made some good signings.
Yes, don't worry.
That's a bold statement.
City are going to win it, and I think they'll win it this year by a little bit. I think Arsenal finished second, but I'm disappointed in Arsenal. I'll touch on that in a minute. And I think Liverpool will... I don't know who's going to come in third, fourth and fifth, but it'll be between Liverpool, Manchester United and Chelsea, who I think will come in. They're in third, fourth and fifth, but I'm not really sure what way to go. I said this to Patrick yesterday on the way home. I don't know if I said this to you yet or not, Brenton or Jonathan, but I think this year under Liverpool, even if they do sign, say, Moses Caicedo tonight, yeah, I think this year is going to be chaotic. I think they're going to be so much crack going forward, Liverpool. They're going to slap some teams an awful lot. They're also going to concede quite a bit at the back unless they can get a really registered, not like a Van Dijk level because it's hard, but a starting centre half to come in. If they're going to stick with this three. If that is the case, I think that needs to happen. If it's not the case, they get the right midfielders in and you move back to and you go 4-3-3, then, yeah, you're in the money. But I don't think Liverpool will challenge City or Arsenal really this year. I think the highest Liverpool will get will third. And the reason why I'm disappointed in Arsenal is, and it's sort of touching this with you, think, Mudd, I think Arsenal had a great opportunity this year. And I know the transfer window's not over yet, but I think Arsenal had a great opportunity this year to run City ragged. And really go after City and really mount a serious challenge. And as well as they've had a great transfer window in Timber and Raya coming in, obviously, to challenge with Ramsdale.
Havertz.
2 seconds, sir. And they got, what do you call him, in January as well, the Belgian Trossard. Yeah, who they brought in. Declan Rice, obviously, as well in midfield. Brilliant sign who they brought in. They haven't signed an out-and-out goal scorer. They haven't signed the goal machine. And what I think is, and Johnny, I want you to come in here first. I think Arteta is trying to recreate, and there's nothing wrong with that, obviously, a bit of a Liverpool under Klopp where he had Mane and Salah. And then you'd Firmino in the middle. And Firmino, obviously, that would be like your Havertz type who can play in the middle. Right, why not just go and get Firmino for free and then have that money to go get another goal scorer. I don't understand the Havertz deal, and I could be way off on this, and he could have an unbelievable season. I just didn't get it, and I think they've left themselves at the minute. There's still 3 weeks to go, I think. They've left themselves short, and Arsenal really could have put a marker down this year. Kolo Muani would have been a striker I went for. Jonathan David and Lille would have been another great one. I think Arsenal could potentially still get Gonzalo Ramos from Benfica as another one. You add someone... one of those three in to Arsenal's front line. I don't think Gabriel Jesus is the one either to win in the league because of his injuries and stuff. He can be a brilliant player at times, but he's not consistent enough. You add one of those three in, and then you have Saka, Martinelli, Trossard, Rice, Odegaard, Partey, whoever else, and in the defence they've added in, as I said, who they've added in. Like, that's a serious outfit, and I think they're just going to come up short, and it's disappointing because you know what's going to happen then next year. If the likes of Liverpool get back in the Champions League and they can maybe get more players in different things, Manchester United as well, Chelsea, City will strengthen again. I think this is going to be an opportunity missed. by Arsenal. And I think, and I know it's weird, but I think it's disappointing because I was hoping they would get someone in and they would have really kicked on this year against City.
Yeah, I mean, I can see, like, I understand, like, you know, Gabriel Jesus, for example. Gabriel Jesus is never going to be a 20 to 30 goal a season striker. I think that was quite obvious, but he adds a bit of chaos up front and can bring Martinelli into the game, bring Saka, Odegaard, whoever's around him. You know, he's excellent at that sort of thing. And, you know, he scored 11 league goals last year and he missed 3 months. You know, you wonder what he maybe could have got if he didn't get injured at the World Cup. We'll never know, but I think he's a great player. I mean, on Kai Havertz, I was obviously like, what are we doing signing this guy? But, you know, I've watched him in pre-season, watched him on Sunday against City and thought he actually done very well. Like, he missed, well, one great chance where, you know, if he's, you know, 100% confident, he probably puts it away with his right foot. But I thought he'd done something that we didn't have last year, which is Ramsdale able to kick the ball up front and he take it down and just play it out to Martinelli or play it out to Saka, which we didn't have that last season. But I think Arteta's plan for him is actually to play him where Xhaka played last year. And if he can add a few goals from midfield, you know, it's going to make a big difference. I think the style Arsenal want to play for is maybe Arteta doesn't want that sort of big target man up front. I don't know. It's hard to know what be like. I never seen David Raya coming out of the blue, like, to be quite honest with you.
A big target man. I just don't think they have a goal. I don't see at the minute. I don't see Saka scoring 30 plus goals. I don't see Martinelli scoring 20 plus goals.
Martinelli scored 15 league goals last year, and I think Martinelli
is
better
this
year. But I don't
see him going 20 plus.
Never know.
You never know. But you know what I mean. I think. But if you added someone in that took the brunt of the goals off those two, even all the year where they're still progressing, you're potentially looking at Saka to go into 30 plus, or Martinelli going to 30, and one of them going to 20 plus. It's hard to do, It's hard.
Yeah, I think both need to hit 20 plus. Yeah, and like Odegaard had a great goal scoring season last year, which, you know, if he can do it again this year, it would be fantastic. I think Havertz would need to add goals. I can't see him getting 15, 20 goals. Like, absolutely not. But if he can hit 10 or just over 10 from midfield, would be great. I mean, I understand what you mean. If Arsenal had, say, like a Haaland or something like that there, who could score goals, or I don't know. I don't even know really who else is really available out there. Like, Arsenal spent a lot of money on Declan Rice and things like that, and that's maybe impacted on them being able to go get a top striker this summer. You know, I don't think Eddie Nketiah is the one. I personally would start
Patrick
Trossard.
Says about Balogun. Patrick mentioned Balogun in the chat there. What about Balogun?
I think Balogun's gone. Obviously, because, you know, I'm an Arsenal fan, following things with Balogun, his attitude's been absolute shite, and, you know, his social media activity is just him pushing for a move. You know, he had a great season in France last year, but it sort of just got this head, and he thinks that he's bigger than what he potentially is. You know, he put up a clip a few days ago of him watching, you know, old Ronaldo playing for Inter Milan, and, you know, where this kid's got this ego from, because he scored a couple of goals in France last year. You know, you need to do it consistently for a couple of seasons in a top league, not just having one good season. You know, we've seen it before with players. So personally, it's obviously Arteta wants guys that are, you know, bought in to the project, and Balogun doesn't seem to be one of them. You've seen it happen with Aubameyang when he's been out, and the same with Ozil and all these types of guys. And yeah, we may come up short, like, but, you know, it probably will be disappointing if it does go the way it did last season. But at the end of the day, if you had told me even 12 months ago that we'd be signing Declan Rice and Trossard and Havertz and whatever, like, you know, I would have said you're pulling my leg here, seriously. It's just nice to see Arsenal actually getting there again. Maybe they mightn't do it this year. They might go out and buy that striker next year. And, you know, these players will have another year behind them. And they're still, you know, early to mid-20s. So they still have plenty of years left in them.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's hard as hell. Like, you know, City could flop this year and maybe finish second or third, but I really doubt it. Like you said, Chelsea are banned. And if you get Caicedo, like I said in the chat there, I think he's a game changer for Chelsea. I think he's fantastic. He absolutely ran us ragged at the Emirates. And at the start of May.
I remember watching it.
Yeah, and I think Liverpool will come back.
Him and Lavia too, actually. Do you remember the night we watched it happen?
Lavia was fantastic. Was too. Yeah, so like all those teams are going to get stronger, like, definitely. And it'll be a very, very... I think it'll be a closer title.
I know you were saying, and Brenton said about Havertz playing a nine there, and I do, yeah, but I don't think he scores you enough goals as a nine, and you are number nine, Brenton, you know the crack of that, like.
And I don't score enough goals.
Yeah, you score enough important goals. if I just put an Arsenal hat on, and as difficult as it is, like, when you don't support them, but I know you're saying it's great you're back into it, because you've obviously been starved from not being into it. And there's a great radio podcast on our TED actually with BBC. I don't know if you heard it, Johnny, about how he's come through and different things and the gradual process. And it sort of shocks me that he hasn't, you know, went on and got. And if you sell Balogun, there's a brilliant one, Watkins. If you sell Balogun for 50 million, I would be wanting, as an Arsenal fan, and I'm not that I'd be throwing the head up and getting annoyed, I'd be wanting him to go and get a striker. Patrick says Ollie Watkins from Aston Villa. That him and Martinelli and Saka would be class, like. But as Brent says, he probably cost a fortune. But yeah, you'd be wanting it. And I think it could be set then, and you could really, really give City a rattle. You're not going to, no one has the squad depth at City. I know people don't look at it and think, is it that strong? They're out of Guardiola and Paqueta this week, or Paqueta soon this week. It's that strong. But yeah, I think, I don't know, I think they're just going to leave themselves short, and it's sickening. Go on, Patrick.
Just going to say, where Liverpool were with Mane and Salah. Salah was getting 25, 30 goals every season. I don't think Saka or Martinelli will get even close to that kind of number, which you really need if you're going to have a nine that's not really going to score. So I totally agree. I think if Arsenal had a nine, I would say, geez, they could be frightening, because if you flank Saka and Martinelli, or a nine with Saka and Martinelli with a really solid base of a midfield, it could be unreal.
Yeah, I think one other thing I actually forgot just to mention was a few journalists, now not Ornie or people like that, but had suggested the fact that Arsenal are only loaning Raya this year for $3 million is maybe because they're trying to free up some money for a striker. You know, I read that last night, so I don't know if there's anything in that. There probably isn't, but I thought it was interesting. You know, you never know. You just, like, I think the Trossard deal, for example, in January came out of nowhere. I know you said about Liverpool, how they used to pull out transfers out of the blue. Arsenal have done that with some players. Like Timber, like, that sort of came out of the blue. Like, we didn't even know we were in for him until it was sort of agreed. I know it did take a while to get complete, but all that was done really in the background. So you never know. Like, there's still a couple of weeks left, but
Harry,
I agree with you. It's like, I don't think he would ever do it.
Would you take him?
I do agree with you. What a take him for a season. He'd do well on the bench.
Can you imagine if they just recreate the Sol Campbell transfer tomorrow? Only it's Harry Kane. Holy ghost. I think I'd take a half day and work. I genuinely think I'd take a half day. I'd be like, listen, my boss, listen, Patrick, I need to go home, sir. Something seismic has happened on social media, and I need to go.
Every club in the world would take Harry Kane as their starting center forward. Like, that's how big of a transfer he would be. Like,
ridiculous. Just before we move on to sort of overachievers and different things, so you were talking earlier about Liverpool Twitter, Brent, and you're saying, like, well, there's certain journalists, I don't know if it's the same for all your clubs, where you follow and you know they weed out the bullshit. Paul Joyce is the Liverpool, like, god. He hates everyone on Twitter, so he doesn't really tweet anyone. He just puts out news. When he starts to talk about a transfer, it indicates that there's definitely something there. And he got involved off this afternoon and said about Liverpool, and I've looked at Moses Caicedo, and now he's just retweeted a story about Moses Caicedo and the origins of Moses Caicedo in Ecuador that the Times did yesterday. He's just retweeted it up, and he knows very what he's at too, because he knows he gets traction. But just to keep an eye on that, obviously there is something going on in the background there with Liverpool and Chelsea, which I don't know what's going to happen here. It's all just chaotic. So, your overachievers. I'm going to go first.
Yeah.
I think Man City's reserves, Burnley, will actually overachieve this year. I think they're going to finish in the top half of the table. I think they're going to be quite decent to watch. If you saw bits of them, I wasn't really a huge fan of the Championship and thankful. I never really paid much attention, but I did last year. I don't know why. I just started whatever last year watching bits of it. They're very good to watch. Really, really pleased on the eye. Really good football inside. He's added quite well. He's strengthened quite well already to them. I think Kompany looks like sometimes you get a feeling when certain ex-players take on a managerial job or manager's role, you sort of look at them and go, yeah. Mikel Arteta, okay, we all joked about it, even you as well, Johnny, what's going on here at Arsenal? But you look at Mikel Arteta and you're like, yes, that's a coach. Xabi Alonso, people are looking at him already and going, yes, that's a coach. Steven Gerrard and Frank Lampard, people are going, no, stay in the BBC studios, BT studios, right out of the road, doesn't work. Vincent Kompany's on the side of Arteta and Alonso and different things. He looks like he's a coach. He looks born and bred for it, and he's doing very well. I think Burnley are going to surprise a lot of people this year. I think they're going to do quite well. It's a different Burnley than what we're used to in the Premier League. They're not going to stink the gaff out for 80 minutes and then sucker punch you off Bemi's forehead. That's not going to happen now. They're good to watch. Not that nothing against Sean Dyche's football or anything out there, but it's a different style, different attitude. And I think they're going. My pick for someone different, because I think people might have the same ones here, for overachievers this year in the Premier League. Jonathan?
Like I suppose, like I said earlier, I think Aston Villa will do very, very well. I think they'll push for the top four just because Unai Emery's come in and had a really, really nice impact at Aston Villa. I know it didn't work out for him at Arsenal, but I think there were different factors that made it that way, including one, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. But yeah, I think they're putting together a really good squad, and they had a really, really strong finish to the end of last season. Like if you look at where they were when he first came into where they ended up, you know, with European football, that's great for Aston Villa, and I think they'll push on this year and they'll only get better. And like was mentioned, they have a fella up front with Ollie Watkins who can score goals. Like, so I think they're one to watch. I think they'll be a great team to watch this season. So I am looking forward to seeing them play, except when they play us. Not looking forward to that.
Yeah, great one. I think I agree on that. I think Aston Villa will be good this year, but it's Emery. Nothing against him. He's a brilliant coach. But once he gets a sniff of top four, I think they'll probably fall back down into fifth or sixth. And they'll probably win. I think in the Europa Conference this year, they'll probably win it. Yeah, they should win it if they aren't it, because they look like a fantastic side. But yeah, I think that's a great choice. Patrick?
I think Villa will be well placed, and you're right, Burnley looked good last year. I've gone for Bournemouth. It sounds like, I've read a wee bit about their manager, new manager. It kind of feels like whenever Southampton kind of ditched Nigel Adkins and went for Pochettino, so like Gary Neal kept them up. Maybe they thought there was a ceiling there, and they've gone for like a continental option. And this guy did very good things with Rayo Vallecano. They beat Real Madrid, they beat Barcelona, finished mid-table on a small budget in La Liga. And I see Bournemouth, like they have spent nearly £100 million this summer. It's a lot of money. And some of the players, like I liked your guy Traore, who was there, I think, on loan last season. They've signed him permanently. He looked like a really kind of sharp, nippy kind of winger. And they signed Patrick Kluivert's son. I see they've just signed a midfielder I've never even heard of for £25 million, a 19-year-old from Bristol. So like
Alex Scott,
yeah. And like, yeah, they could be decent. Be interesting to see how they play. So I'll go for Bournemouth. I think they'll have I think everyone had them nailed on to, probably including myself, to go down last season, but I fancy them to comfortably finish sort of upper mid table this season and maybe play some nice stuff as well.
Interesting, yeah. I think they'll definitely want to watch too. I think Bournemouth spending £100 million is such a mad statement. Like, it's like football is completely wrecked. Nothing against Bournemouth though. Obviously they don't have Eddie Howe anymore, so I quite like them. I used to hate them, but it's more Jason Tindall that I fucking want far under the sun. Brenton, go ahead.
I agree with everything that's been said, but I had a few down. And I'm going to go Palace. I know they've lost Zaha, but I think in some ways that could be good for them. They finished higher than Chelsea last season. which is ridiculous. But I think they could. Yeah, well, that's fair. But I think they could push into the top half, which I think would be overachieving for Crystal Palace. And I think it and I'm saying this now on the 10th of August, but if they keep Elise, which would be a big deal, they obviously would need to keep Eze fit, and a couple of the forward
need
players.
To keep Mark Gahey as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Need to keep
exactly.
Mark Gahey as well.
Yeah, this is all. If you're listening to this in 2 weeks, and Palace have let all these players go, ignore this. But at the minute, I think they could push up there. You know, maybe into looking at an outside European place. And I know we have some Crystal Palace followers of the pod as well, so it'd be nice to cheer them along as the season goes on.
And Roy Hodgson turned 76 this week.
Big up Roy, like,
remarkable. That is still going. I can't believe it. Actually, fair play to him. Yeah. That'd be cool. Actually, Palace to get themselves into Europe would be class. And it's again, like, people laugh at it, but the Europa Conference League is there for teams to do this. And you saw how much it benefited West Ham last year. Like, that final was class, and the celebrations all afterwards were brilliant. So, more power to it. That's interesting. Four different sides. I thought there was going to be more people going for Villa. But four of us all picked some different sides, so we'll be able to come back to this in May and see some crack of three of them got relegated, and see how we get on. But yeah, I just because I'm conscious of time too. So your underachievers this year, I'll go first, and then Brenton, you can come in. I think Newcastle are going to stinky poo poo it this year, and I really, really hope they do. In fact, I hope they don't get any points or any goals. I just hope they just disappear. No, not the club. Well, no, yes, the club actually. I hope it sinks. I don't think they'll do that well this year because they'll go after playing in Europe, playing in the Champions League. I think it'll be too tough for them. I don't think they've added enough either. They're playing it sort of softly, softly, gently, gently. I think we're all waiting on them just spending £1 billion a week on players. But they haven't done that yet. Probably because actually they're spending it on the Saudi League, but that's a different podcast for a different day. But I just think Newcastle are going to be, I think I'd be surprised even if they finished anywhere close to top four. I think they'll probably look at them challenge again for getting Europa League, but I'd be very surprised if they get anywhere near top four. I just don't think this year is going to be for them. It'll be a tough, they'll enjoy their run in the Champions League, don't get me wrong, but then they'll start to feel it in the new year. Brenton?
I'm going to go Spurs. I think they'll be underwhelming. Obviously, the Harry Kane story will be a big part of that. If he does go, they're going to really struggle for goals, I think. I don't think they've signed particularly well. I don't think there's anybody currently at the club who is going to be able to step into Harry Kane's shoes. Not only his goal scoring and his assists as well, to be fair, in sort of the last season and a half, two seasons. He's kind of developed that part of his game. But, you know, I know they've signed Maddison. That's kind of really all they've done. I think we've seen, like, Richarlison hasn't really lived up to expectations there. So there's no spark, no positive attitude coming out of Spurs at the minute, or you know, much being talked about by Spurs supporters. It'd be interesting to get. I know your cousin Phil is a big Spurs man, like, so it'd be interesting to hear the fans' sort of view on it. But I'm gonna say that, you know, they'll finish maybe in around mid table. Like.
As a Chelsea fan, he says that, and he also hopes and prays for it. Patrick?
Yes, I was thinking Newcastle, but I'll pick someone different. But I heard an interesting one about Newcastle. They were saying about how, they're going to add more time on this year, 10 minutes out of time, like the World Cup might be normal. Newcastle had, like, of any team had the lowest amount of time of the ball in play last season, because they're absolute shit houses, and it did it at Anfield and it ended up biting them in the arse. But I think they won't be able to use that tactic as much. They might actually have to play more football, and with playing European football they might be very tired. So hopefully Newcastle will be shit. I think Fulham could really struggle this season, and they've been unsettled by the Saudi stuff. Mitrovic, still probably wants to go. Your guy Manor Solomon went to Spurs, who I thought looked quite good up front. They've signed Raul Jimenez, who is way past peak Raul Jimenez. Peak Don Raul Jimenez. I think since his fractured skull, as you'd imagine, he hasn't been the same player, definitely not the same aerial presence. I just think Spurs might struggle this season, so I'll go with Fulham. I think they could flirt with relegation.
Mud?
Firstly, I think it's interesting. I think finishing, in around mid-table is overachieving for Spurs, but, we're not getting into that.
I knew you were going to say something.
I think Brighton can underachieve this year just with the fact that they're in Europe and they're such a small squad, so it might be a bit too much for them. Especially if they lose the likes of Caicedo, and they still have some good players, but I just think they'll, being the first time they're in Europe, they'll struggle to find the balance. So I think they could be one that we could see struggle, even though they've been fantastic, and I think their coach is fantastic as well. But I just think it'll be interesting to see how they get on. I think they might, fall outside the European spots this year, or finish in around mid table, maybe just above Spurs.
Brenton, going ahead, you want to come in there?
Sorry, I'll just say this quickly. I know we're kind of picking teams here, but a player I think could struggle, as much as people might think it's out of spite, I think Mount could struggle.
Yes, Brenton. Go in on him. Go in on him.
That's one of the most spiteful things you ever said there, Brenton, actually. you just cut your boy adrift there. He was your boy, and you've just kicked him to the curb there.
No, I'm not saying I hope he struggles. I just think he could potentially struggle. Just watch the space. That's all I'm saying.
Interesting. I never even thought of it. In fact, I forgot he'd signed for Manchester United, to be honest.
So did I.
Haven't seen much of him. So yeah. I don't even know. I don't even have a player on the top of my head who I think will struggle. I hope it's Haaland.
That'd be nice.
I made that mistake, Philip, last year. I made that error.
You did.
You and Stephen did. You did. You really did.
I think.
What did you say? Did you say he wouldn't get 10 goals?
I probably. Something.
I think 10 after 3 games or something stupid, hadn't he? Like he'd all.
Yeah.
Four some time or something.
I don't think he'll have the same season though. I don't think he'll reach the same heights. I think he'll still have a good season, but
Johnny, fuck up.
he'll have a great season. He'll have a great season.
Jesus.
Interesting. I don't have a player at the top of my head I think will struggle, but obviously I hope Everton get relegated. Sorry, cousin Kieran. I hope Newcastle get relegated. And I don't know. Fuck Sheffield United back down there. I don't really care. One of them or something afterwards. Yeah. I don't really, I don't really care who else it is. But
interestingly, Sheffield United basically sold their best player to Burnley this week.
Sheffield United have
Sander Berge.
So four out of their top four assists or goals last year was Sander Berge, Ndiaye, who you like, Patrick.
Oh, he's class. Yeah.
And, what a player.
And Ollie. Your boy Ollie, someone
McBurney,
and then another player, and they've sold three of them. And I think they've only brought in one or two players. I mean, there's a couple of teams are trying to get relegated before Christmas, and I actually am very pleased this is happening. I embrace this. That's cool. Go for it, lads. Let's see what happens. But that combination
with overlapping centre backs should be good crack.
Aye, for Sheffield United. They'll definitely just make space.
They'll beat us at a 12:30 Saturday morning kickoff at Bramall Lane. Like it's surefire thing.
And then we'll probably go on a run where we beat City, Chelsea, United, and Arsenal. we're conceding, and then we'll play Luton at Luton's and get Dick 3-0. But you know what? I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to embrace it. Listen, folks, that'll do us. That was very, very football heavy today. It was the preview show before the season starts tomorrow, so we thought we'd do this. Although when you're listening to this, it'll probably be Friday by the time I get it up and out on Friday morning. So it'll be today when you're listening to it. The Premier League will be about to start. Manchester City against Burnley. We'll be back, obviously, next week with another gang of us on this and chatting about different things, including the football, what's been on the first week, and then obviously as we'll try and tilt it towards other aspects of life, because we have a couple of ideas of what we want to talk about. I'll give you a little snippet. Steve wants us to talk about sports that we don't think we could do well in. So, like, one of them was, Brenton said, couldn't hit a nine-darter. Somebody said couldn't hit a 147 in snooker. I genuinely think I could hit a home run. We'll maybe get that down. I don't know. I just think I could do it. I think I could hit a baseball and connect with it. And I'm willing to try it. So if any baseball sides listen to this and want to get me involved, not a bother.
You're just swinging. I'd be like what, one good swing.
Oh, it's far. You could nail it, I think. It's far. Is it like 300 meters or some stupid? No, that's not 300 feet? How far is a home run?
You look it up, doctor, and then you fucking.
It's
I go to crash snowball. But yeah, so we're gonna talk about things like that there and different things that we sort of tailored off the end of last week's podcast. But this week was just football heavy because of lots going on in the transfer window. The Premier League's back tomorrow, I think, or today, or whatever time you listen to this. I think you can all sort of gather, listeners. We're all quite excited. I am excited it's back. Interesting to see what happens and what goes on. First full year as well, watching my dad, which has been a wee bit weird. Like, but Finn's sort of getting the age now where he does half pay attention, so that's nice. I mean, he still celebrates if the other team scores. I don't know if he's trolling me or if he's just celebrating goals going in. But we'll have to see how that goes down.
Just
the line.
A purist.
Yeah, it's cool. So he's just a purist. But yes, thanks for listening, getting involved. Some of you listeners, if you do not, I want some of you, if you are listening to this and you do not support any of our sites, so that's Arsenal, Liverpool, Scumchester United, and Chelsea. Obviously, if you don't support any of those, give us a message on our socials, or if you have our numbers, or if you know us, drop us a message. Where myself and Patrick and the lads are interested to get you involved, have a chat, sort of a mini podcast series. We're going to try and pitch down the line, so the more the merrier. We're trying to get people gathered up and do a bit of a series on that. Even if you don't support, doesn't have to be a team in the Premier League, can be any other league. You support a team, you want to chat, 10-15 minutes, we'll get you on to have a chat with us. So as I said, if you do have another team or you support another team and you want to get involved, drop us a message across our socials or get in touch with any of the lads. Folks, as always, it was a pleasure. I'm heading off now to refresh Twitter all night by the looks of it and edit this podcast. And not going to lie, Brenton, if he signs, I'm coming to your house to troll you, sir. I am coming to your house if Casado signs Liverpool and you're getting trolled, brother. That's happening. me and Finn, I'll wake him up. But yes, folks, enjoy your evening. Enjoy the football. It's back this week, the Premier League, and whatever. And we'll chat to you again next week. Good luck.
Steve out.
That electric moment when a ball hits the back of the net.
Unbelievable game. Two great teams going at it.
Sure, he beside him. He just looks like the new cafe or something.